We'll have Walston.
Hi, family. Hi, family. My name is Walston. I'm an addict. And it's only through the grace of God I stand here clean. I want to thank Blaze for sharing her message. Thank you so much, Blaze. And I want to thank the East of the River Committee for asking me to be a part of this workshop and allowing me to be a service. I'm grateful for the opportunity. I'd do anything for Narcotics Anonymous because Narcotics Anonymous saved my life. I want to encourage anyone that's in the D.C. metropolitan area on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock to come to the best NA meeting in our area. It meets at Howard University in the hospital auditorium. The topic, Living the Way We Pray, that's an interesting topic. And I kind of wonder why they asked me to do it, but as I said, I'm grateful for the opportunity. My sponsor said, you mean showing off in front of God. I got that kind of sponsor. That helps me really see what we're talking about in here. And I'm grateful for my sponsor. I need to say that because he helped me get in touch with the open-mindedness that I needed in order to incorporate prayers in my life to the extent that I do today. But he helped me after dope did what dope does. Right? And what dope did was whip me. I used to call it an intimate relationship with narcotics. And when I got to these rooms, y'all helped me understand that it really wasn't a relationship. It was a dependency. I remember when I moved from Alexandria, Virginia to Washington, D.C., I was around 12 years old. I was a scared little boy. And I moved into a section of Northeast where on one end there was Lincoln Heights. It was an area that wasn't one of the areas you would want to frequent if you weren't from that area. And on the other end was Southeast. And I was living on Central Avenue. Coupled with that, I suffered from low self-esteem, but I became an egomaniac. So I was like a walking contradiction. Battling in here. I have curly hair, and curly hair is not real fashionable in the ghetto, by the way. So I had to learn how to fight early. All those fears, and a guy walking up to me one day and handing me a substance that came in a pill form. It sold for $1 at that time. And I see some people here remember nodding them heads. I like that. When I see buck action, that's right. I remember using that substance and, like I said, developing this relationship that would last for the next 25 years. So when I looked at that topic, what I immediately thought about first was praying the way we live. Because that's what I wound up doing as a result of this relationship I'm telling you about. I use narcotics, as the literature says, I live to use and I use to live, live to die. I was using because I didn't know how to live, and it helped me cope to the extent that I could just do what I needed to do. I went on through school and went out in Oregon and started to play ball and thought I was doing some things and my disease was progressing. I began to kind of stutter and stumble, but I didn't understand the disease concept and I kept using and I kept using and I kept using. And all of a sudden I started winding up in these places called Rocky Butte. But if that sounds like jail, that's what it was. Atlanta, House of Corrections. Washington, D.C., Detention Center. We got a place in Alexandria, I call it the Alexandria Hilton. There is no Hilton in Alexandria. I started going to these institutions, and I started drinking this substance called methadone. And I drank that for about 15 years. I was on something like 4 different programs in a number of cities, and by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I had 3 teeth up top. You know, I kind of reflected on coming here to do this, and you know how we do. We start thinking all this profound stuff we're going to share. And, you know, I already knew before I got here that the Creator was going to have his way, and the only thing I have to offer is my story. My story is the greatest story I've ever been told. I went on with this beast that I was living with, and I remember getting shot on Southern Avenue one night when I pulled up on that corner to go cop, because Monday Night Football was coming on, and you know we don't watch Monday Night Football, not on. And by the way, at least anybody can pay out. I was buying crack in D.C., smoking in Maryland, looking for it on the floor in Virginia. So I use anything that'll change my mood. I like it liquid, I like it solid, I like it gas, I like it human. It don't matter. And you people helped me understand that the substance was but a symptom of my problem, that my real problem was my total self-centeredness. I remember early on, my mother introduced me to my first prayer, and it went something like this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, put all my money on 168. Give me that water. So prayer, as I was saying, prayer is something that's been in my life from as long as I can remember. But it was a pray as I was living. My addiction took me places where I really didn't want to go, didn't plan to go. And all I knew at the end, when I was reduced to animalistic instincts, and that's what it talks about in our literature. When we're reduced to animalistic, you ever been in an oil joint and couldn't get out? You've been in a crack house and I'm getting ready to leave in a minute. I'm getting ready to go, but somebody needs this stem. You ever been stuck in the crack house and can't leave and want to leave? You ever sat at the dinner table eating your dinner and try to hide your hands because they swell up like Everlast boxing clubs because you don't want your children to see your mitts looking like they look? Have you ever been stuck in an oil joint and you can't get it in you because you don't have no more veins and you got to keep putting the dope back in the cooker because it's been gelled up because you can't get a hit, and you reheating it and you putting it back in the cooker and you drawing it up and you sticking yourself and you're in there for an hour and you can't get it in and you keep trying? I'm talking about addiction. And so when I was reduced to animalistic instincts, I prayed to the only God I knew at that time. I said, God, help me. Real simple prayer. I remember by the time I was at the end of my road, I was what I like to think, an entrepreneur. I was going to a wholesale shop on 7th Street in Washington, D.C., procuring wholesale jewelry that I would convince you was gold, or a bag of Vanessa Del Rio tapes. And I would then walk up and down F Street to find my man, hopefully before my bowels broke. I'm talking about the disease of addiction. Being caught up in self. Man wrapped up in self is a mighty small package. And I was a mighty small package, not only physically, emotionally, but spiritually. I had no hope. So I kept doing what I was doing, but I prayed to the only God I understood at that time. Help me. God sent help. God sent help in the form of some men in blue. They said, you don't move. And they proceeded to put the handcuffs on me and take me to a safe place where I couldn't hurt myself. I had been introduced to this program, I guess about 7 or 8 years prior to that particular incarceration. So I knew about the best kept secret. And at this particular juncture in the journey, I was truly ready to surrender. But surrender was something that didn't come easy for me, because as I said, I suffer from low self-esteem with ego. I'm an egomaniac. I put all these defects of character on top of the fearful little guy that lives in here. And so now that I'm removed from the substance, now that I'm removed from the lifestyle, it's like, who am I? What do I do? And you people told me this was the way to freedom. And so I showed up in these rooms because I wasn't going nowhere. My first meeting was in that institution, and they said, you can go to the meeting or you can stay on lockdown. I think I'll go to the meeting. So I went to the meeting, I sat in there, and I sat on my hands, and I heard the message to the extent that I could hear the message, and I became, rather than a hopeless dope fiend, as I kept coming back, I became a dopeless hope fiend. I started to pray because I was rebuilding a relationship that Mama initiated early on. You see, I started just building this personal relationship. Y'all told me this was a personal journey I was on, and I needed to tailor the suit to fit me the way I want to wear the suit. And y'all told me that the disease of addiction was about more than the substance, so I had to get in touch with my self-centeredness, me wanting what I want all the time. Me, my inability to manage my feelings and how I cope. And so my first prayer that my sponsor helped me get in touch with was the prayer about seeking guidance. He gave me a prayer. I remember when I got with this guy, thinking to myself, what is this dude giving me prayers for? I know how to pray. You know, I used to do prayers like this. God, please help me get a hit. If I get a hit, God like me. If I don't get a hit, God, please help me make bail. You know, foxhole prayers. God, I won't do that again. Some of y'all may have been there. I don't know. You ever dropped a tab or some shit and you ain't know how it was going to carry you and it took you? God, I won't do that again. So I had these prayers. I was praying at the level, you know, thank God for God meeting me at the level of my needs. And that's how God met me, at the level of my needs, put me where I needed to be so that I could get reintroduced to the God that I'm beginning to understand today, that works through you people in these rooms. My sponsor gave me a prayer that goes, God, guide me so clearly that even someone as stupid as I can understand. Motivate me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet to do this step with patience, persistence, and joy, according to thy will. And he said, you do that prayer after you apply water to your dirty face in the morning. Because in your mind's eye, you're beginning to go into prayer, which will cleanse the inside. See, my God is going to manifest on the outside, because now he's going to start dwelling on the inside. And this self-centered little guy that I had become on the street is beginning to grow up and develop some identity. It's beginning to be able to be selfless. But I first had to selflessly pursue this program before I became able to selflessly try to give it back. We talk about the theme of this convention being one promise. That's the promise from the freedom of active addiction. And so with that comes a whole lot of other freedoms if I pursue the program. So I began to use that prayer on a regular basis. I'd apply the water, and I'd go out and meet my day. And somebody, I remember one time in the group conscious, a guy confronted me about why there was no chips at the meeting. You know, I was the secretary, and I'm in the GSR, and I was supposed to get the chips and stuff. And he said, why aren't there any chips at the meeting on Wall Street? I said, what do you mean, why there ain't no chips? Who are you to ask me why there ain't no chips? And we went through this back and forth, and as I left after going through that, I recognized that I was out of order. And another prayer my sponsor gave me was the resentment prayer. You mean I got to pray for this dude? And the prayer, see, one thing about prayer that I recognize now as God begins to dwell on the inside is that I can't pray and look for God to do for me what I can do for myself. I have to be responsible. I have to respond to my prayer. I have to respond to the prayer. So I get up, and I have to start saying things like, God, please give him in full and generous portion everything I would have for myself. Oh, I don't mean that. Say it again, Walson. God, please give him in full and generous portion. I have to say it until it becomes not only a prayer of the mind, but a prayer of the heart. This got to go from here to here before I begin to live the prayer. And so this journey now, I begin to see these freedoms, and I begin to recognize that, Walson, it really ain't about you no more. It really ain't about you. You're on a journey because he picked you up out of the muck and mire because he got some work for you to do. It ain't about you. And then I began to recognize that the fearful little guy that was my classroom out there. Everything I went through, I had to go through to be right here today at 3:40. That's my journey, to bring me here today to get the help I need in here. And so I stay on this journey, and I get a house, I get a car, I get a wife, I get the kids back in my life, get to make a few amends, and then you think you got something going on. I remember one day coming home, and the cable TV that you get that don't come with the monthly bill, it was off. And my wife says, honey, the cable is off. But all I got to do is call, and the program says, you can't do that. See, I keep getting awakened in this program, and I can either recognize that what's got me here is the grace, and what's going to keep me here is the grace. And the way I stay in the grace is by my relationship. And my ultimate relationship is built on my prayer life. My spirituality grows through discipline is the way to spiritual growth. It ain't nothing disciplined about me. But I have to work at this. Why? Because I like what I'm getting. See, and even when I get what I perceive to be indifferences or obstacles, I recognize that it's only God presenting me with obstacles as an opportunity for growth. And so now I begin my perception changes, and I look forward to the opportunities for growth. Even when I don't want to, I move towards the resistance, and I begin to petition and ask him to use me, all of my defects of character, good and bad, so that I can be an ultimate service to him. Right? And I keep getting blessings. I keep getting guys coming to me wanting to be a part of my life, which only helps me become better. See, because I'm so self-centered. I'm so caught up in me. I want the Gators. I don't want to pay the electric bill. See? But y'all keep helping me. Y'all keep sending me my help. And so out of this constant petitioning of my higher power, y'all tell me in the literature how important it is to listen for his answer. And so now I begin to kind of learn how to still the mind and sit with me and be all right with me, because I was never all right with me. I sit with me and I do very simple things like breathe and recognize that that's what spirituality is. Breathing and recognizing how important breathing is. So the journey I'm on now is one of being all right with self, with a woman or without a woman, with money or without money. Now, you know, I ain't all there. Don't nobody get me wrong. It's like my grand sponsor said, give everything and expect nothing. Don't nobody ask me for no money after this workshop. I ain't dead. But I'm talking about what prayer has done for me. You know, the difference in how it works for me today and how grateful I am for the journey that he's put me on and that I seek to stay on. And if I don't continue to petition and pray to him and listen for his answer, I'll leave the journey. So prayer is real clear to me as one of the things that I need to stay here. I recognize that I am not a human being on a spiritual journey any longer, but a spiritual being on a human journey. And that's about continuing to allow him in, continuing to allow him to manifest on the outside, because he's dwelling on the inside. And if I'm not building that relationship with him, he's not going to dwell there. My creator don't dwell in no unclean temple. So the first promise that we talk about is most important. If I just don't use and don't interrupt the process, see, then I'll get close to what I need to get close to. Because I'm just as powerless today as I was the day I showed up. And I can leave here after doing this workshop and go find one right up here in Ocean City. But I ain't going today. Because I got too much love in here. And I feel the love and I see the love. So I want to thank again the East of the River Convention Committee for asking me to be a part of this workshop. I want to thank all my friends and sponsors and all of you for being here for me. Because if there were not you, there would be no me. Well, thank y'all for letting me share.